The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an exciting message from our guest.
I came to give you a message, a powerful message, about the making of a true worshiper. And when I got here and began to be in the building and sense the Spirit, God put a song in my heart first, and they said, this is what I want you to talk about. So this is for you. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a breakthrough for those of you that have ears to hear. And that's what the whole plan is of this message, is that you may have ears to hear. Amen? He wants us to seek his face. Last night I went to do a meeting up in Stockport. And when I got ready to give it, I didn't get to give it. I never did give it. But I did tell everybody about what was going on, what's coming down the pike for 2020. And I'm just going to do a brief little summation on that so that you can be thinking ahead, because when I be coming around here next October, you're already going to be way into it. And I just feel like you need a head start. Actually, every year the Lord visits me. Speaks to me about the next year. He gives me an assignment. He gives me a topic. He gives me the topics of workshop speakers for 5 conferences we put on a year. Free conferences in different parts of, like on the eastern side to up to Alaska. We put 5 conferences on. And between that, there's also godly assignments that God has put on my heart. And one of those godly assignments that he put on my heart was, after we were required to go to every capital in the United States and pray and do something specifically. And when I was done, then he said, I want you to get on a plane and I want you to go to Israel and I want you to go pray for their capital. Well, you can't just go over there and go to their capital. You have to apply for a permit 3 months in advance. I didn't know that. But I'll tell you what, those guards, when they realized where I was from and why I was there, they waved it and said, just don't go. And I said, I'll only take you a few minutes. And he used to take as long as you need. We are grateful that you came here to pray. And so that's pretty much been what it's been now for over 120 countries. This summer we did, the end of March until the end of August, we did 35 countries. Went into countries and out of countries. That means different airplanes, different time zones, different hotels, different food, different culture. And I discovered over the years, and since we started this for the Lord, that God is in every culture. And you will be with them for a few minutes. It's like my brother said when we were in the back room, he had me figured out in 5 minutes. He knew where I was coming from. He knew what my heart was. That is a true worshiper right there that has ears to hear and is paying attention. Amen? It wasn't what I look like. It really wasn't even how I was talking. It was my heart. He's looking right in my eyes. Anyway, I want to say that you need to be praying for your leader. Be praying for your leader that he continues. God put him as a leader, just like he put Moses as a leader, just like he put Noah as a leader, just like he's put men and women all over the world in leadership and leading congregations and et cetera. When God puts them in place, they're going to hear things you're never going to hear. They're going to hear things from God that the only way that you may get to hear it is the way that he has to translate it for God. Amen? That usually is what it is. Now, you got prophets in the building that hear God and hear things spoke, but he is the leader concerning this church. He is the shepherd of this church. Amen? And his wife, I mean, don't exclude her. She's right there next to him. Amen? Where is she anyway? There she is. I mean, it is. Whatever hurts him, hurts her. Whatever hurts her, hurts him. They're one. Amen? And I just want to say that as you're going through 2020, there's so many things that are going to be revealed. And in those things that are going to be revealed, see, the Lord came and visited me. and 2020 in Israel has already started. They rotate with their New Year's calendar anywhere from the end of July all the way into September. And it's already happened. It's already been launched. And this is what it is. If you would go with me to a window and look out a window, God would say, "Oh, watchman, what do you see? What do you see? Will you see beyond yourself? Will you see beyond the trees that are in front of you? Will you go to what God wants you to see?" I'll give you a hint what you're going to be looking at. You're going to be looking how God has framed in that window a place for you to stand and start seeing the plans and the purposes of God's Son's return coming into play. We've just finished a decade. We're stepping into a new decade. The new decade is not going to be anything like the last 10 years. I'm going to tell you right now, where you used to not say something, you're going to speak up. You're going to have such boldness because that's what God is doing this year. In 2020, in the new decade, the word that is given in the Hebrew language for this year is pay, P-E-Y. Not P-A-Y. It sounds like P-A-Y, but it's P-E-Y. What does pay mean? Pay means wisdom. Wisdom. And it's God's wisdom. Amen? And in God's wisdom, I'm going to stop right now and say, "Lord, give them ears to hear what I'm saying. Let it not depart from them. Let it go deep within them and let them see the manifestation of your glory in everything they do and everything they say." Amen? Let them acknowledge the godly wisdom that you're pouring in them, that you're unlocking, that they've stored up. Unlock it and let it be released in Jesus' name. Amen? How many receive that? Amen. Say, "Lord, I pull it down." There you go. Now you're responsible to it, right? So the first word for 2020, according to the Hebrew scribes and their priests, this is consecutively the word that was given for this year. So the first word is wisdom, godly wisdom. The second word is mouth, loud, large mouth. So with wisdom, we need to have a mouth, large, and loud. We have been, over the years as Christians, being bullied into submission of not even talking about our faith. We've gone through the workplace. You know, you can't even say you're a Christian or you get in trouble, maybe fired for being radical about your faith. Whoa, where does that come from? Amen? We have been put a gag order on us in a lot of churches across America about what we can say. They don't even really understand this mixture about church and state. They don't even have that right. And it's been misconstrued. Amen? So I'm here to tell you, this next decade we're going through, it's not just going to be about you. It's going to be what God is doing through you as a wide mouth, willing to say what you need to say. And he said, and if you're not going to say it, then zip your lip and shut up. That's how the Hebrew word comes out. Zip your lip and shut up. And why would we have to do that? Because it's like voting. It's like voting. If you didn't vote in the last election, then I don't want to talk to you about our president. If you voted, I will talk to you. Amen? Or our senators, our Republicans, or the people that, you know, represent us. I'll tell you what, if you weren't for your pastor to be the pastor of this church, if you're not for it, why are you here? That's my question. Why would you be here if you're not for it? And if you are for it, be a mouth for it. But if you're not for it, zip your lip. Does that make sense? And I'm not here to defend him. I haven't even talked to him. I don't even know what's going on here, except a wonderful spirit, wonderful free spirit. It's like coming home. I don't get to go into very many churches that are like this. My friends there will say the same thing. I mean, it's like, God talks to you? Yes, he does. He should be talking to you. My people hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Is he lying? No, he is not lying. Amen? So that is in part where we're going and what God is saying is in these next 10 years, and he's already started it. Look at the last 2 weeks. There are people with loud voices. It's like, I can't believe some of the things I'm hearing being said. And it's like, you've got to speak up. Be ready and prepared to defend the gospel that dwells within you. Don't hold back. You've got to be gentle, but I'll tell you what, don't hold back. Tell the truth. God says, can I trust you to do that? Can he trust you to do that? And do you trust him to help you do that? Amen? Trust, that word trust, is huge to God. If you were looking for something to give God for Christmas, it would be, I'm undivided. I trust you, God, with all my heart, soul, and mind. You give that to him, and I'll tell you what, your ministry, your life, your walk will be like a tornado everywhere you go. Amen? Amen? So, maybe I'm sounding a little bit bold, but he said, in that wisdom, you will walk with courage and boldness, and you're going to tell the truth. And if they say you're a liar, that's on them. That's not on you. And they're not coming against you. They're coming against the God in you. Let God take care of it. He said, I got your back. Amen? Besides, to live is to, what is it? To live is to gain, to die is, how does that go? How does that go, Sarah? To live is, to live is Christ, to die is to gain. There we go. Got to get it right. Amen? Think about that. That little bitty statement is so powerful. To live is Christ. I'm living up here testifying to you in Christ. If I were to die today, what would I be? Pardon? Eternal life. And it's all gain. All gain. Okay. Some of you know me. Some of you know my testimony. When I was 40, I died. I died. I was technically dead 27 minutes. Why the doctor even kept trying? They usually quit after 5 minutes. But he didn't give up. He was the top specialist in internal medicine. And he did not give up on me. And they worked and worked and worked. And for 27 minutes, I went to heaven. And I saw Jesus. I saw him face to face. I saw a lot of the things that go on in heaven, a lot of the things that, as you get to know me and I tell you more of what he showed me, what why I live the way I live, why I care about people, why I love people, that not one soul be lost. I don't care how what a ragamuffin you are. You're his ragamuffin, and that's good enough for me, not one soul to be lost. You know, that's something that Billy Graham said. Now, I don't want one soul to be lost. That's my line, too. I don't want one soul to be lost. They'll come in that door one way, but they're going to leave different when they go out. Amen? And the more time that we get with them, the better it's going to be. And the next thing you know, they're up here preaching. Amen? And if this is a good church, like I see it to be, that will be welcomed. That will be welcomed. Amen? So, if you will go with me real quick, I'll tell you where God said to take you guys today. And I want you to put your ears on. Because what did I say? My sheep hear my voice. I want you to hear something that you've heard before, but listen to it a little bit deeper. Amen? The time, place in 2 Chronicles here is after King Solomon has done the great celebration, the great sacrifice, and honoring God when the temple was built. And it was like, wow, you talk about a celebration. It was a true worshiper's celebration. You know, it's easy to worship God when you're celebrating and everything's going good. And that's a good worshiper, but that's not the true worshiper. The true worshiper is the one that, through the trials and the testings, is still worshiping God. It's God's still forefront, no matter what, because God says, I got your back. Remember that. Amen? So in chapter 7, we want to go back up here. The Lord, and this is verse 12, the Lord appeared before Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayers, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple, a sacrifice. What if your pastor was visited, and that's what he said to him? I have chosen this place. Maybe he did. Maybe he's already heard it, or his wife's already heard it. But I have chosen this place to be a house of prayer and a house of healing, and many of the sojourners going through will find this place and come and dine with you. Amen? You call it Bethel? That's the name of your church, Bethel? I love that. I love that. Amen? So he goes on to say, if I close the sky so there is no rain, or if I command the grasshoppers to consume the land, or I send pestilence on my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from evil ways, then I will what? I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. I mentioned that God asked me to pray the borders of America. Well, we did the eastern border first. It was very, very interesting because God has a plan and he does talk and he wants things to be prayed properly. He gives insight, direction, because he orders my steps. Amen? So we were going down the western border and God talked to me in a different way. He started telling me the things that he was concerned about, he was grieved about us in America. So he told me some things that I need to be aware of. One, he said, the most misused scripture is the one that I just read to you in America. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and repent, then I will in heaven hear, and I will heal your land. But you know, in my experience around anybody that uses that scripture, they're using it to discipline somebody. To say, if, you know, are you called by God's name? Do you seek his face? I mean, it is, even people that have wrote about it, written in books about it, even have it kind of a screwed. And the Lord said, it breaks my heart because it's the most misused scripture in America, because it's used to judge people. That is for me. When I pray that, that's for me. I am one of his sheep, and he's calling to me. And when you profess that, and you declare that, and the whole word of God is like, you're right there. God has not changed yesterday, today, or tomorrow. He's always the same. Whatever's going on in this world right now that's not of God, why are we accepting it? Because he has not changed. He's not a butterfly on estrogen. Boop, 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 boop. He's not. He's firm, strong, and stands in place. He's not fearful. Amen? He's not. And he says, please stand and watch my salvation come. Watch it take place. Watch it take place. Amen? But we have to be a part of it. Again, that loud mouth. Amen? Wide mouth open. I want you to hear what's on my heart because God put it there. Amen? So going back to if my people call by my name, in John 10, that's where, you know, we get the scripture of the job description that Satan has on this earth. To come and kill, steal, and destroy. He's a thief. He's as much a thief today as he was 5,000 years ago. He's always going to be there because he can. Because of what God did with this earth. He's always there. But he cannot overcome. He can overcome us, but he cannot overcome Jesus in us. He can't. because a law came from heaven. Every knee will bow at the name of my son, Jesus Christ. Every knee. And I'll tell you, you got a fiasco going on in the church and two women are arguing all the time, whatever. You walk in the midst of them and you go, is this what Jesus acts like? Or two men? God is calling us to be a righteous people. Be holy as I am holy. And when I see those disagreements going on, I'm going, do you know what you're telling me? That you are not really following after God. His heart is not in you. Where is his heart? How can you talk to another person like that? Our weapons aren't flesh and blood. Do we know that? Do we understand that? So going back to the scripture about seeking God's face, how many of you think about that line, seeking God's face? His face. Understanding who he is. Reading the word and knowing how he doesn't change his mind. What he said here, the yes and the no's are plain and simple. The yeses are yes and the no's are no. And he says, will you do that? Will your yeses be plain? Will your no's be plain? Amen? So do you seek his face? He says, seek my face. Any situation that you have going on in your life, he says, seek my face and I'll guide you and I'll direct you. Ask, seek, and knock. What is that? That's in Matthew, isn't it? Matthew 6:33, I think. Anyway, he says, ask, seek, and knock. Be persistent with perseverance. Ask, seek, and knock. He's got the perfect timing and the direction. You know, it's whatever's going on in your life, whether it's your job, making a decision for a spouse, having children, your faith, the church you go to, everything. He's willing to help you. He said, you make the plans, but let me guide you. Your plan is I want to find a church. Okay, let me guide you. Seek my face. Let me guide you right to where you need to go. And by the way, when it gets uncomfortable and you're being stretched, don't get up and run out the door. Stay and see what's going to happen. It's going to be a wild ride. You'll be wheeling and squealing and carrying on. But before it's over with, you're right there with them. And the next one that comes in that's scared to death, you're right there to comfort them and love them and say, I remember when I came into this understanding. It's right here. In the word. It's right here. The gifts. Even the seven spirits of God that dwell in us because of Jesus Christ. How many of you have thought about that? Seek his face concerning, what did I just say? The seven spirits of God that dwell in you, that are in you. If you've professed Jesus Christ as your Savior, we don't even know the power that's in us that we need to tap into, to seek his face and understand what does he mean by the Spirit of the Lord, wisdom. That wisdom is in me. How about the Spirit of knowledge and understanding? Is that in me? How about the Spirit of counsel? Is that in me? How about the strength of the Lord? Is that in me? And how about the fear of the Lord, keeping him honored and respected? Amen? Honor and reverence to our mighty Lord. Amen? Is that in me? It is. How many of you are Christians? Profess Christians. Well, there you go. You're walking around like a menorah inside of you. Spirit of the Lord. What is it? It's wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, strength, and fear of the Lord. That's in you. I've come to Ohio, and I've said that in West Virginia. That's what dwells in us. Let's light the wicks. Let the fire grow in us. Let us be. Sorry. See, I'm glad somebody got me. So, there we are, seeking his face. And what are we doing? We're seeking his face, and his reflection is actually showing me what I need to change. So I start praying, and I start repenting, and I ask him to help. And he comes back with, I will heal your land. Now, this is the interesting part. When he was walking me through this, He said, Nancy Lee, that's what he calls me, Nancy Lee. He said, what do you think I was talking about when I said land? I will heal your land. Because everything God has in the Bible has a couple of meanings. Just that's part of the mystery of his word. I said, well, I'll get back with you. So I get all my encyclopedias out, and I go on this journey about it can't be just an easy land. I can go out there and kick the dirt. There's land. But in the definition, it is the real estate, the land. But it's also the land of our hearts. And there was another land I found in a worldwide encyclopedia. It says the land of a gun. I looked at that and I thought, that doesn't have anything to do with this. And he said, yes, it does. Pushes it back in front of me. He says, find out about the land of the gun. So I don't have a gun. I'm not into that. But so I didn't know anything. So I called a really good friend. Her husband is, you know, he reloads. I know a lot of men that reload, but that was the one I chose. And he wanted to talk to me. He wouldn't give her the answer. He said, you tell her, she's a chicken to talk to me. You tell her to call me. He's working out in the platforms. See, he's an unbeliever. And so he says, I'll tell you, it doesn't have anything to do with God, but tell her she has to call me and ask me. So I did. He said, okay, the land of the gun is actually the barrel. And in the barrel, depending how long the barrel is, there's rings. There can be one ring, two rings, or even a set of three rings. And the purpose of those rings is when you shoot the bullet, the powder or whatever it is, when it goes through the barrel and gets into those rings, it starts spinning that bullet, and it brings in more velocity and accuracy. So the speed of it and the accuracy of hitting the mark. That's what those rings are. In the land of the barrel. See, the barrel is the land that those things are in. And he goes, so that I don't see how that could be spiritual. And I said, oh, I can see. Can you? The land of our heart, if it's gunked up with lies and deceit, we're lying to ourselves, and deceitful of wicked ways in ourselves that nobody knows about, and then we try to bring forth the righteous prayer, it gets gunked up in the land of our heart, and guess what? It falls short, or it takes time to get there. Am I making sense? I was like, wow, you know? He's always using these little ideas to just kind of, you know, maybe even little parables in our own lives. I mean, you wouldn't think it's a parable, but it is. Of what is it in the land of your heart that needs to be cleaned out? What is it? When that land is cleaned, see what it is we have read in the past that our Jewish brothers would look at everybody else and they would be angry that they didn't wash their hands before they ate, or the things that they ate. They said they're defiling the body, and they're telling Jesus, what do you do about this? And what did Jesus say? He said, it's not what you put in your mouth defiles your body. It's what comes out of your heart through your mouth. Because when you talk, if you're sensitive, you can pretty much nail the person in 5 minutes what's coming out of their mouths. And I'll tell you, if you have truth in you, that's what's going to come out of you. You can't even help it. God gives you such boldness to do that. Amen? And let's go to Matthew 15:11 real quick. I was looking at Sarah's Bible, so I've got to get my eyes retrained here. Yes, this is, it's talking about the defilement within, but it even goes further. Summoning the crowd, he told them, listen, understand, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of mouth that defiles the man. okay, or woman. Then disciples came up to him later and they said, do you know that the Pharisees took offense at what you said? Oh. He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind guides. I don't want to be a blind guide. Amen? And if the blind guide leads the blind, they both fall into the pit. You know, we have such responsibility, if you're really true to heart to God, that truly there is, I don't want one soul to be lost. That may be in your family, that may be in your neighborhood, that may be in your workplace, organizations that you're involved in. It's like, I asked God years ago in my private prayer, I said, Lord, would you let me know when you're grieving so I know when to grieve? So I know what is really bothering you. And if you ask something like that, don't forget you asked it. Because when you get a grieving spirit and you don't know what it is, you need to go back to the Lord and ask him what he's grieving about. And I'll give you an example. And this is going to be hard. Some of you, you're going to shake your heads on it. But remember I said after we prayed the capitals in America, then God sent Sarah and I over to Israel and to pray the borders and capital of Israel. And we, when we did the borders, we started out and we went from Tel Aviv up just below Lebanon, went all the way over just below Syria, came back down and came across right where Jerusalem is, back to Tel Aviv. It was awful. It was awful for me. It was like I was having a hard time praying. All I wanted to do was weep. I didn't know what was wrong. I was frustrated. Our driver, who's a good friend, he was kind of mocking. And I didn't know what was wrong. The next morning, we get up to do the last half. So we get up, we go, and the driver takes us on past Jerusalem, and we go on down to by Jericho, and then head on down, go all the way down beyond the Dead Sea, just above where Sodom and Gomorrah is. Then we head up and are heading up like the western border of Israel, you know, just heading up toward the Gaza. But before we got too far, you know, I could still, we were looking at the cliffs that were looking over at the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is amazing to me. God gave me a word over it, and it's happening now, and it just blesses me to go there and see it, how amazing it is. But as I was, I finally just asked him to stop. I got out of the car. I went over and stood on the bluff. And I'm just sobbing, and I'm going, what is wrong? Have I done something wrong? Why am I feeling this way? I pray all the time. I can't even pray. I mean, Sarah knew I was struggling. It was even hard to pray. I didn't know what was wrong. It was like I couldn't break through. And he said, oh, Nancy, let me tell you something. You came here to pray for the borders. Don't you know I can take care of the borders? He said, from the marauders coming in. He said, but what I've really sent you here for is to pray for what's within. Like he did with America. Well, I would. I was going to do that at the end of it. It wasn't the timing or anything like that. What he wanted me to hear was this. You're concerned that they won't accept my son. This is a general word. You're concerned because they won't accept my son. I'm grieved because they have forgotten me. Can you imagine that? Talk about boom. Because when you have a religion, the religion is ahead of God. We have got a religion. This is what we're going to do. This is our traditions, blah, 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 blah. Just like what you eat. It becomes a religion about what you eat. Not what God is trying to tell you. It's not what you eat that defiles the body. It's what is dwelling in here. Let me show you what's dwelling in here that is going to defile your body. Amen? Because it goes on down here to verse 16. And by the way, this is tough to say what I'm going to say, but it's God's love, because the number 16 is God's love. And how many of you know behind every Hebrew alphabet and Greek alphabet. They have a letter, but after the letter is a number. And there's more ways that God talks to you than just in those words. He talks to you in numbers. And if you ever research that and look and see how you go through the 22s, you go through the 18s, you go through the 16s, and you know you go through the scriptures that have the number 5 in it, you're going to see grace, and more 5s, grace upon grace. You get to 8, and that's new beginnings. And when you go all the scriptures that have 8 in it, you'll start seeing a pattern that God has. 10 is testimony. What is 12? Government authority. What is 14? Salvation and deliverance. The year that we went through, 2014, it was about grace and deliverance and salvation. Amen? 18 is bondage. All the way through the scriptures, that 18 is always wrapped up in some type of bondage that people are being set free from. 19 is faith. We're in the year of God's faith, redemptive faith. Every year, we have a number that we're looking at that God is speaking to us, not just in words, but numbers. Amen? And if you know those numbers, and I mean, that's something he put on my heart to understand and learn, and it's just awesome. It's awesome. It's verifying. But anyway, going back here to chapter 6 or verse 16 of chapter 15, and that's all about grace too. And are even you still lacking in understanding? Are you lacking in understanding about what's in you, what's coming out of you? Well, Christians today pretty much know that dialogue. They pretty much do, but they ignore it. Because of the hidden secrets that dwell in us that we're working through. Because none of us is perfect. We're always in a work. He's always doing a work in us. Amen? He asks, don't you realize that whatever goes on, whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is eliminated? That was personal. But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and that's what defiles a man. Amen? If it's bad, from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, blasphemy. There are things that defile a man, but eating with washing unwashed hands does not defile the man. You know the scripture that says that, Sarah, help me on this. It's a scripture about talking about your brother. What is that? A law about your brother. Don't talk about him. Don't gossip about him because it's a sin. What is the name of that? No, it's not that. It's, oh darn, I can't believe I forgot it. It's like accuser of the brethren, that's it. The accuser of the brethren. How many of you really understand what the accuser of brethren really means? Because I want to tell you what God showed me. The accuser of the brethren is anyone that's involved in getting in a conversation with people and it's gossip and you carry it on to someone else. That's an accuser of the brethren. You are guilty of that sin, and God hates it. When somebody comes into the church and says, you know what happened at so-and-so, the pastor over there, blah, 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 and you tell somebody, and somebody else tells somebody, and somebody else tells somebody, and you got a pastor over there that most of it's lies, and he's struggling and trying to get his act together, but all these lies are heaped upon him like curses. We have to be careful of being accuser of the brethren. When there's a problem, go straight to the source. Please don't get in between and listen to everybody's add-on of how to make them try to understand what's going on. One of the biggest mistakes that I made here in the last couple of years is there are some people that just really have a hard time with me doing ministry out of the state, being a woman as a pastor, being a woman ordained apostle by my community. But a lot of people, they can't wrap their mind around it. And so, you know, they get angry, they say things, they gossip behind me, my back. And, you know, this has been going on. It's just one of the things I had to learn to live with. But the problem is, what they were doing was trying to wrap around it and make it right in their mind. So they started to say in this verbiage, you're just gone a lot. And, you know, what a sacrifice you make. What a sacrifice. You've chosen to sacrifice your family. You've chosen to sacrifice your church and your friends to do God's will. Now, if I was a man and was doing that, nobody would say anything. But I'm a woman, and it was hard for them to see me. I did not start going on the road and doing what I'm doing until God called me to do it. It was never a desire of my heart to do that. But when it happened and what God required of me, he went to my husband first. And he said, this is what I'm going to do with your wife. This is after my experience dying. 6 months later, he visited my husband and said, this is my plans for your wife. I'm letting you know. And he told Henry, what I'm doing today. He told him back then, which when God started asking me to lay down my responsibilities, I was all about kids. Ministry to kids, that's all that mattered to me. I had Saturday church activities so that all the churches could bring their kids to just participate in the games and the spelling bees, and it was non-denominational. Parents felt fine about it. They did all kinds of fun things. That was my heart. But then one day, and I was a preschool teacher, and I was getting educated. I was going to college. I was going to take over that school. They were positioning me to take over it. And I was 2 weeks from graduating, and he said, you're going to lay it down. That's not the direction you're going. And I'm telling you this as a personal testimony that was a gut shot for me. That hurt so bad, and I couldn't understand why he was doing that to me. The very thing I love more than the breath I breathe, and he was taking it away from me. I couldn't understand it. I was feeling cheated. I felt like it couldn't be God that would be asking me to do that. And I went to Henry, and that's when Henry told me that he'd already talked to him. And I remember saying this, and I've repented many times. I said, I'm glad you and God have my life figured out. I was so mad. And I stomped out of the room. I got over it. I did. But that was a real tough time for me. I didn't understand it. So for people to get around and keep saying, you know, oh, you're sacrificing. Well, I've never used that word. I never used it. I say I'm obedient. I'm obedient. It's better than sacrifice. But what was happening the last couple of years, it was happening so often that I start saying that. No, I wasn't saying that. I wasn't. I was listening to it, and I was embracing it. And so one day, I'm in Ketchikan, and I'm getting ready to speak. It's the last night of our conference, and I'm in the bathroom by myself praying, and I'm praying like I always pray. And I said, Lord, use me, less of me, and more of you. He says, are you willing to pay that cost? Are you willing to pay that cost? I mean, that was as bad as gut shot in me about the kids. I was like offended. I said, what do you mean? I've given everything. I've sacrificed everything in my life for you. I do. You say it, I do it. I'm like a devoted little dog. I was so upset. I mean, even when I went out and spoke, some of them picked up. I had a little bit of attitude. They knew something was wrong. But I was so angry. He hurt me. And it was like, why would you say something like that? I have paid the cost and paid the cost. What more do you want me to do? I went through cancer with my husband. I went through my granddaughter getting murdered at 20 years old. My little baby girl at 16 months ran over, and I was holding her when it happened. I went, what more do you want? What can I give you more to prove I love you? He said, Nancy, Nancy Lee. I stormed out of the bathroom, and shortly after that, that was in September, I came to Ohio, and I still had that offense in my soul. And I remember speaking at a church up north of Moore, and I was speaking away, and all of a sudden, I had a stroke. And it was one that I could keep speaking, but it was on this side of my face, and I was having a hard time moving my tongue and saying the words. And then shortly after that, the pastor there was the only one that recognized something happened. And even before I got the words I was saying, I had to think, can I even say that word? I was trying to find other easier words to say because I couldn't get my tongue wrapped around the word. And so then we went somewhere to a park. I had another meeting that night, and then we just rested, and I put my head down, and I rested. Do you remember that, Uda? And I just slept. I woke up. I felt like somebody hit me with a sledgehammer, and we went to this other church, and God is faithful. He keeps me on my feet if I'm willing and obedient. But about halfway through that one, I had another one, another stroke. That night, went to bed to have one in the middle of the night. I should have went to the hospital with the first one. It just messed me up. It messed my thinking up. It stole my joy. I thought that's what stole my joy. That wasn't what stole my joy. My joy was I got angry at God because he disciplined me because of my verbiage, and I didn't know it. So about a month and a half later, after all of that, and I get back to Alaska, I go to my brain neurologist. I'm going to my heart specialist. I'm going to all these people to see what happened. I couldn't figure out why it happened. My blood levels were right. Everything was right. It didn't make any sense. Nothing about me makes any sense, but that's the way it is. But this was a little bit harder. And my husband had gone somewhere, and I was by myself. I think he went to Anchorage, and I was just sitting on the couch, and I was starting to feel a little bit better, but I wasn't all the way better. And I remember saying, Lord, can you please tell me why I had those strokes? And you know what he said? Do you remember our conversation in Ketchikan? I said, the last night? And he goes, yeah. He said, do you remember it? Let's walk through it. And we started walking through it. And what did you say? And what did I say? And what did you say? Well, I remembered it. And we got down to, and what did you say after that? I said, well, I said, I do, you know, I less of me and more of you. And you said, you know, I got my feelings hurt because you said, are you willing to pay the price? I thought I'd been paying the price. And he goes, but do you remember what you said after that? You said, I have sacrificed everything. He said, what you did, as you started embracing the verbiage that well-meaning people were, because they couldn't grip what you were doing. They don't understand it. So they were using that word sacrifice. And so you began to adopt that word for yourself. You were sacrificing. Nancy, my son sacrificed. You obey. Do you think about that in your own lives today? I mean, it was like, I'm lined up. Man, I was holding my bottom for a week. You know, I just got spanked. And I realized how we get pulled, sucked into the world's thinking. And that was the world's thinking. We've got to be careful how we take in things and absorb things and then take it to ownership. And it's something that is pitted and put before God. You know, and that could have brought in a whole lot of pride in me. Pride showed up. I got offended. I don't want to be like that. That's not my goals in life. I want to serve him with everything. I want people to know that I live to do his good pleasure. Amen? His good pleasure, not mine. Though it's a pleasure to serve him. Amen? But I do it out of obedience. Amen? Amen. I'm going to close with one of the things that I was going to say in the other talk that I was going to bring about freedom and learning to be a true worshiper. And the end of the story, I'll tell you the end of the story, because there's things that went on from when through the plagues in Egypt and the 430 year servants in Egypt, and they got set free, and how they would worship when it was going good for them, and when it wasn't going for good for them, they were cursing God, and you know, right down the line. But there were two men that were walking with Moses that were true worshipers, consistent all the way to the end, and that was Joshua and Caleb. But Caleb was even more important, as far as I'm concerned. Caleb was a different spirit. That's what God said about him. He was a different spirit. So I wanted to research, why was he a different spirit? Because I love the writings of Joshua and what Joshua did, because he was faithful, faithful, faithful. But I'll tell you who was even greater was Caleb. Caleb never got to hear God speak. Joshua did. When the mantle was handed over from Moses, it was handed over to Joshua. So Joshua had a main line back and forth with God. But Caleb didn't. Caleb, when he started as a young man with Moses, whatever Moses said, he did it. He didn't question it. He was faithful. In fact, in the Hebrew, the name Caleb means dog. Dog. And you think, well, that would be rude. But not. It wasn't rude to me, because when I went to heaven, when I was in heaven, do you know what I saw? Dogs. All different types of dogs. And I said, Lord, what is with all the dogs? He said, don't you know that is the most loyal animal on the face of the earth? Think about that. Think about that. I mean, I heard a joke one time about this woman and her dog, and her kids were in the car, and she kept trying to get her husband to come and unlock him out of the car. When he finally got there to get him out of the car, she just was cursing him and mad and yelling at him and walked off, but the dog jumped out and just loved him. He just loved him. And, I mean, that's kind of an unusual example, but I tell you, Caleb was so loyal. He was a warrior, a true warrior, and it was whatever you say, no questions asked, I'll do it. He was of a different spirit. And he was blessed with one of the most honoring giftings because of God had promised him that he had a choice of the choicest land, and he got Hebron to pass on his inheritance to his children. If you know anything about Hebron, I've been there, and it's a great place, and many, many testimonies I have about Hebron. But anyway, that's where I want to end it. I had planned to do something different, but I'm not going to do it. But I'm willing to pray for you. I'm willing to be an instrument for the Lord to, if there's something that is deep within you, a desire, a hope, that I can come in agreement with you, come up here, and I would pray for you. And we will pray a prayer agreement over you. If you want to be activated, God has gifted me to pray over people, to activate them. That's in the scripture. Paul even said it. He said, I long to come see you, to lay hands on you and activate those gifts that God has already put into you. It's right there in Romans 1:11. He longed, and that's, I long to come here to see you and lay my hands on you to activate the gifts that are you were born with. Amen? The desires of your heart, we want to come in an agreement. So if you can let me pray for you, if you thought about your prayer life, if you've seeked his face, if your land of your heart is cleansed and clean and is a whistle, yay God for you. But you know it's not all right. You know there's still some unforgiveness, or there's some attitudes that you haven't been able to get rid of. Come up here and let's get rid of them. There's a garbage truck right now, a spiritual garbage truck, backing in. We're getting ready to throw the garbage in that spiritual garbage truck to go away forever. Amen? Father, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here today. I thank you for your Old Testament teachings that, Lord, are New Testament life for us if we grab it, embrace it, and swallow it, and walk it out. And Father, thank you that there are many things that we're soon to learn about being that extravagant worshiper, being willing to worship in season and out of season, be used of you in season, out of season, and that not one soul will be lost, and that, Lord, we'd never be accused of being accusers of the brethren, that we'd always be lifting one another up, and as you have required of us, to be holy as you are holy. That's what we want to be, Lord. So, Lord, open up this front here and let them come and meet you. Let them come and get up and come and meet you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.